All right, nice to have everyone with us this morning as we get ready for Giants baseball. Bruce Jenkins, good morning. Thanks for being up. I appreciate it. How are you?
Absolutely. Doing well, Marty. Thanks.
What a week for Giants baseball. I mean, last we talked, of course, was Sunday before the game with Buehler that they just crushed them. And then they go into Colorado, maybe have their best series that I could ever remember. And then yesterday, Bryant tribute and 6-1 and Belts homering. And, you know, it's quite a week of Giants baseball, Bruce, five straight.
Yeah, it's really the most, maybe the most amazing team we've ever seen in pro sports here. I mean, it just keeps going. I mean, you know, the 49ers did some unlikely things when they were starting their, you know, their dynastic run, but this team was really not expected to do anything across the board. But not only have they been a good team, but I mean, you know, they've got 90 wins. They have yet to take a slide. They're going with bullpen games twice a week at least. They got guys people haven't heard of all over the country, and we hadn't heard of them, you know, when they first arrived. And as we've said so many times, the veteran guys are really, really stepping up. And it's just it's a magical thing, and it just keeps going. And I think they can hold off the Dodgers, and we know how important that would be.
Yeah, the Dodgers, they won last night 3-0 over the Padres. Urias 17-3, Bruce.
Wow.
Leads me into – I want to talk to Dodgers a little bit, but Urias 17-3, Buehler is there. Wainwright has had a fabulous season when you look at where he stacks up in the league. Burns and Woodruff, there's no more DeGrom right now. This
right.
Cy Young in the National League, is it a slam dunk for Buehler? Because other people can get into this thing.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to come right down to the end. You know, Buehler's his reputation is probably a little bit more solid than Urias, mm-hmm. but Urias he completely yeah, and he wrapped up the postseason for the Dodgers. I mean, he was out there just pitching like a genius, like a little Fernando Valenzuela, and it's too close to call right now. But the main thing is that for the Dodgers, you know, Kershaw is going to pitch on Monday. He's mm-hmm. coming back finally. And he's super excited about how he feels with the rehab start. And they got Tony Gonsolin pitched 3 innings the other night. He's probably going to get back on the rotation. So their bullpen games might be over. And that's a huge plus for them.
Yeah, and the national media, I was looking at ESPN this morning. How can we figure out that the Dodgers can win? They're still really, they're still doing it 91-50. 210 home runs. They're 11 behind the great 1947 Giants and Sid
yeah.
Gordon and Walker Cooper and Johnny Mize. And I don't know. They just don't get any respect in the national level. Isn't it amazing?
Well, I think they are getting it. I mean, guys like Ken Rosenthal and Jason Stark and John Heyman are all over this story. I mean, they're you can't ignore it, you know, and they're trying to figure out why, but there was a really good ESPN piece on why the Giants are good. It was very long and very detailed, and it laid it all out all in one place. I thought that was extremely good. So I think they are getting the credit among the writers who, you know, pay attention to this thing. It's their job, and I don't think anybody's ready to say that they're as good as the Dodgers, just, you know, in terms of talent, but it's been proven otherwise, and we know that out here.
Yeah, they are. There's no look. Yeah. Bellinger is finally benched. I can't believe
yeah.
it took him, 140 games to do that. Their outfield, I think McKinney is now in the minor leagues, but it's McKinstry and Taylor and Gil McDougall and McKinney and you know, really, it's and they don't hit. You know,
yeah,
the Turner's
they,
hit. Will Smith has slowed down. Betts has not hit all year, really. And let's face it, you know, the Giants play them toe-to-toe, and actually I think the Giants have a better roster.
Well, you never know. If you're looking at the back of baseball cards, I don't know if you can say that, but when you watch it in reality, you know, that's what's happening right now. It's so funny when they lost Kike Hernandez and Chuck Peterson, people, you know, the party line was, oh, wow, they're loaded. They're fine. They wish you guys well, but they actually do miss those guys now, and they're both you know, they both made, I think, the right call for themselves to go and get a little more money, a little more playing time. But when you watch the Dodgers, I think, you know, they miss both of those guys.
Yeah, they do. So we'll see how it plays out. It's, you know, as Henry said, it's the sprint to the finish now. It's the final kick, you know, the marathon days, you know, kind of behind you. And now here we are, September 11th. We'll chat about that in a minute. But September 11th to the finish, only a few more weeks to go, and the Giants are in a position where they can afford to lose a game or two, but the Dodgers can't. And we're getting to that point of the season. Hey, the Chronicle did a very nice series, and you were part of it. Really good, Bruce, about Hall of Fame potentials, people who should be in the Hall of Fame. And Scott Osler wrote about Lefty O'Doul and Aunt Killian Vida. You wrote about Will Clark and John Shea about Felipe. And I want to tell you something. Everyone made a compelling argument of why these people should be Hall of Famers. It wasn't just, hey, they're in the Bay Area. I thought it was an excellent series.
Oh, yeah, especially John Shea. He made such a compelling case for Felipe. I mean, I'm well aware of everything he's done, and right from the start, you know, coming into the big leagues with the Giants when they moved out here. But I hadn't thought of him in those terms until it was laid out the way John did, and it's terrific. Yeah, we all had a lot of fun with that. I mean, for me, Will Clark was a no-brainer. I want to say I always voted for him, but he was only on the ballot one time, for heaven's sake. Jeez. That's unbelievable, but yeah, really good. You know, Vida and Lefty O'Doul is a good one too. There's a lot of old timers in the Bay Area that are constantly clamoring to get Lefty O'Doul in there. It's a guy who hits 398 one year. Yeah. But not only that, was a great ambassador for the game nationally, internationally, and so we've had an awful lot of. A lot of great ones. You know, you get the top level guys like Ricky Henderson and Barry Bonds, but there's quite a few others. You know, Jeff Kent. You know, that are kind of knocking at the door a little bit.
Yeah. Now that would. It's funny because I said to myself, "All right, if I was asked to do one of these, who would I pick?" And I would have picked Jeff Kent.
Yeah. Yet another guy who was amazing numbers, and you know, he was so overshadowed by Bonds, and I think Will Clark was a little bit too. You know, Clark had been a legendary Giant, and Bond showed up, and you know, this was a whole sort of different level of a guy who could combine average and power, and he was just starting out here, and the Giants were in a little bit of financial straits. Are we going to? What about Bonds? We got to take care of Matt Williams. And next thing you know, Will Clark's gone, and that was a really tough one, and I think that hurt his Hall of Fame chances a little bit, but. You know, just in terms of Will Clark, he kept hitting 300 wherever he went. I mean, it's not like you're looking at a 230 hitter after a while. His body kind of went out and went south on him, but he was always a great hitter.
Yeah, he was, and he epitomized a Hall of Famer, really.
Oh, absolutely,
you watch him play. In other words, you just watch someone play, and I want to watch this guy's at-bats. And he was that kind of player. Well, the Cubs did a nice thing for Chris Bryant yesterday. I thought it was very well done. I thought he was very emotional. And look, he is the link to 2016 along with Rizzo. And he may be a little bit more popular than Rizzo, I think. Bryant, because of all the trials and tribulations of coming up to the big leagues and the potential trade rumors and all that, I thought they embraced him beautifully yesterday.
Oh yeah, it's such a nice story. You know, he goes back and he delivers cookies to all the people who work there. Susan Slusser wrote a terrific story about all the crazy connections that Bryant has to baseball, to the Cubs, the Giants, and just to the game. And the Cubs fans love seeing him up there. And you know, they understood that it was time for him to go. And I think everybody understands that he landed in the right place. I mean, it's one of the most perfect deals that the Giants have ever worked out, getting Chris Bryant. It's just so perfect in every way. And, you know, he's not going to deliver a game-winning homer every day, but he's just so valuable, and he's a terrific guy. Mm-hmm. And they absolutely have to sign him. They absolutely have to keep this guy. But his personality, the way he goes about things, is very endearing. He's such a likable guy, and he's made the transition, which a lot of people would have little trouble. I mean, he's kind of an institution in Chicago, and now he's in with the Giants, but he hasn't broken stride, and he's looking forward to a whole new life here.
Yeah, and he's very marketable. And the Giants need a marketable player who's not 35 years old, and he's still in the prime of his career. So I agree with you. I would hope they would do that. What do you think of the Cubs uniforms yesterday?
Just dreadful. Not quite as bad as the Dodgers, but anytime you have a bold color and your jersey and the pants are that color, just go change. You know, change into something sensible. All blue, just completely horrible. And the Dodgers did the same thing. The White Sox came up with a very cool uniform for this City Connect thing. The Giants, I don't like them, but they're a little different. They're not completely preposterous.
No, they don't shout out at you. They don't make you look away. Yeah,
but I mean, when the Dodgers showed up in all dark blue, that was just pathetic. And the Cubs are not a whole lot better.
Well, it goes back to 1905, maybe John McGraw. And what he did was he made a uniform like that for the Giants and put world champions across the front. And they played a whole season like that. I think that was the last time until this monstrosity happened that the team had done that.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Hey, a couple of things this week that jumped out at me. One is Pujols coming back to the Cardinals. Come on, his first at bat, he goes deep. How about that?
Just tremendous. And Yadier Molina did. You know, he made sure that he got out of the box. You're not going to be able to throw a pitch because we're going to let this soak in a little bit. And incredible moment. I'll tell you what, Marty, the Dodgers have to have him on their postseason roster. Mm-hmm. I don't care if he's 0-13 going in and he's got a bad ankle. He's absolutely revered on that team. He's the anti-Trevor Bauer. He's a legend. The players can idolize him, and he does these things. You know, they need him. Mm-hmm. They're not getting big hits from everybody the way that they you're used to seeing. So I'm pretty sure that'll happen. But that was unbelievable. And you know, you realize that the years with the Angels were, you can't call them a waste, but you know that's such a poorly run team. They never really did much, and he had the bad foot, and his reputation took a bit of a hit until you looked at the numbers. But now that he's back and you put the whole package together, what has he got, 679 homers?
Yep, 679.
My God. Yeah, so there you go.
His first at bat in St. Louis, and he knocks it out. I mean, you know, that's why we love baseball, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, man for the moment.
Yeah, I'll tell you another one I like this week. This Mike Nolan of the Nationals. Did you see this? All right, so Will Smith hits Soto. There's something going on between these two teams. You know, they don't like each other. So Will Smith drills Soto. All right, so next game, first inning. Nolan's pitched a third of an inning, and he throws one behind Freeman. And then the next one, he hits him. And, of course, the umpires throw him out. They throw Davey Martinez out. I loved it. This is baseball. This is okay. Let them police it themselves.
Yeah, that's when the blood starts boiling. It's just the edge of your seat kind of thing. Yeah. He definitely crossed the line. Any time you're expecting somebody to get nailed in a retaliatory manner, and the pitch is behind him, I almost want to toss the guy right there, because you know your normal instinct when a ball's coming at you is to sort of back off, and you could back off right into your death with a pitch that's behind you. You know, that's really really alarming, and he got out of the way of that so bad. Then he gets nailed again, but yeah, I mean, it's that's like Ron Darling was talking about on one of the Mets Yankees telecasts, and he talking about young pitchers, and he goes, this is what you have to do. If it comes down to they nailed one of your guys and you didn't like how it came down, you've got to get out there and nail one of their guys, preferably as they went after Freeman, they went after their best hitter. And it's not polite. but baseball is not a polite game.
It's the way baseball was played, and it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. So I like that. Hey, how about Wander Franco? Now, he got hurt last night, a hamstring, but he did get on base, and I think it's 39 straight games. Frank Robinson's got the record at 43, and he went past Mantle. For players under 21 or so. But I'll have Mark Topkin on today from the Tampa Bay Times to talk about Wander Franco. But, Bruce, this guy, for 2 years, he was a number one prospect in baseball. They never brought him up. Now they brought him up, and he looks like a big league star. Now he may be banged up a little bit, but what a beginning for this guy.
He's just got such a great way about him. He reminds me a little bit of Soto on Tatis. He's not quite as flamboyant, but he just looks like he knows that he kind of owns things out there. And, you know, they talked about how he does everything well, and it's absolutely right. Now he started hitting for power now. I mean, reaching base 39 straight games as a rookie is mind-blowing because they're not really figuring him out. If anything, he's gaining momentum. And, you know, best rookie in either league, and he's absolutely living up to it. I think, you know, for a while they had Willy Adames at short, and he's really good, as we've seen how good he is with Milwaukee, and they probably didn't put the right timetable on Franco, but now Adames is in Milwaukee and Franco's there, and they're gonna win that division, and he's gonna be in the postseason. I just hope they have, you know, a chance to just let him heal that thing and be completely right for when the postseason does start.
Yeah, there's no pressure because they're gonna have they're gonna win the East.
They
and
are, yeah.
Probably have the best record, but mm-hmm. this is gonna be interesting to see what happens with him. What a player! And look,
the
Rays lead the league in run. This is the vaunted American League with a DH. They lead the league in runs scored. The Rays.
Yeah, they have a crazy run differential. You know, plus 170 something. And, you know, there's so much focus on, well, these guys, they throw, you know, 19 pitchers in a game and nobody has more than 10 wins or any whatever. But meanwhile, you know, Franco or Rosarena and Nelson Cruz mm-hmm. And a bunch of other guys. I mean, these guys really rake.
Zunino. Zunino has 29 home runs and he's hitting .210.
Yeah, but they're just really dangerous. They're so much more dangerous than the team that came out here and beat the A's in the wild card game. A couple of years ago, to think that they're like 9 games up now on some good teams. So definitely,
they got a guy Lowe. Lowe has 33 home runs. You know, and whoever hears. So I'm looking forward to Mark Topkin to talk about the Rays.
Yeah, he's great. He totally knows that team. That'll be fun.
So Bruce, 9/11. You know, just some basic thoughts on 9/11 and where baseball fit in during that week and the amazing comeback, the Piazza home run.
Oh yeah, that was just so well done. You know, everyone's watching that game. You know, President Bush's greatest moment, the greatest pitch ever thrown for by my money, put it right down the middle, and so much emotion. It was very, very tastefully done. And you know, as great as it was, you know, the aftermath is, you know, we're not going to get over this, you know, like really ever, so, especially the people who are so closely attached to it. I remember going back to New York once they resumed play, you know, a couple weeks after I was there, and just, you know, went down to the site and was walking around, and, you know, people in masks, and there's dust on the windshields, which is not really dust, it's, you know, bodies. Mm-hmm. And you're just a stunning experience. You know, it's just, there's a movie out now, I think, with Michael Keaton and Stanley Tucci that deals with that, and I don't know if I want to watch it or not. I mean, I was dwelling on the films that came out afterward. A French company put out some astounding footage of the towers, you know, going down at the time. You know, the films and documentaries about the firemen, it's just, it's so interesting, but it's so grim. I don't know if I want to really revisit it, you know, right now, but on the day, it's definitely a time to remember what happened, how devastating it was, and I think baseball handled it as well as it possibly could.
Mm, certainly did. Absolutely. They didn't fumble the ball on this one. They didn't make an error on this one. Boy, what a time. Well, we'll deal more with it as the show goes on today. Henry talked about it as well because he was in Houston with the ball club when that happened. All right, a historical note, of course, September 11th, Bruce and I just talked about the most important. But this one I like, 1956, Frank Robinson ties the great Wally Burger from the Boston Braves for the rookie record for home runs at 38. Now, Frank Robinson tied him. So this has always been the mark until that mark was broken. But for like 40 years, I could always say Wally Burger.
Yeah, Wally Burger hit 38 in 1930, which was a year when he was with the Boston Braves in the National League. The entire National League, if you can believe this, hit 303. I'm talking about the entire league now. The league average is 303. So that – it wasn't particularly stunning that a rookie would hit 38 homers, but he came back and had a couple more 30-plus years. He led the league with 34, I think, in 1935. You know, a good hitter, but I always wish Frank had just taken that and hit one more. Because you know, Wally Burger's a fine player, but Frank Robinson is truly one of the legends of the game. And I just really enjoyed watching him play for the Reds. I was appalled that they would ever trade him. You know, Bill DeWitt, the guy who owned the Reds, called him a fading talent, hobbled by injuries. This is after he hits 33 homers and drives in 113 runs, and they trade him to the Orioles. But he was just a force with the Reds, and it was such a treat to watch him come in and play the Dodgers, you know, in the days of my youth. Amazing, amazing player. You know, stood out over the plate, daring pitchers to hit him, and they did. They hit him routinely, and he got right back up. He was nasty on the bases. Just a tremendous ball player in every respect.
Mm. Yeah, and Bill DeWitt said he's an old 31. and Frank hated
What does that
it.
Even mean? I mean,
yeah. Frank took it personally, and in 1966 won a triple crown and the MVP and led the Orioles to the sweep of the Dodgers in 1966. How about that?
Yeah, and he's still out there in 71 with the Orioles, you know, doing stuff, making a difference in the World Series. So, yeah, just completely nuts.
But, yeah, he's one of my favorites, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah, he's one of my favorite people that I've ever met in the game.
Mm-hmm.
One of the few guys, if you see him at a bar, you might sidle over there, maybe grab one, you know, with him, hear what he has to say. But real treat to cover when he managed the Giants. You know, Dwayne Kuiper said he was the best manager he ever had. He was very gruff and sort of unforgiving and didn't suffer foolish questions gladly. But, you know, there was sort of a line that you crossed with Frank, and for all of us, you know, Glenn Schwartz and Dick Peters and all the guys who were around then, you know, once you established a little bit of rapport with him, he was just the greatest guy to talk to about anything.
Mm. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Boy, did I enjoy it. All right, we'll save Elroy Face for tomorrow.
Okay.
One of my favorite stories, 18 straight wins until he lost in relief, 18-1. Amazing. Amazing.
How do you get 18 wins in relief? We'll talk about it.
Yeah, really? Okay. Bruce, have a good Saturday. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Okay, thanks, Marty.
All right, a pleasure. All right, that is Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. All right, more coming up. Kerry Crowley, Bill will be back. We've got a good final part of the show for you. Kai Correa, I believe, is going to be there with Kerry. Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times talking about the Rays, as we just talked about it. And then Scott Harris, the general manager of the Giants, will be with us. Did I say Kai? No, Kai Correa, Raph. Okay, right. So I guess Bill Carey and I will be chatting for a while when we come back. All right, more coming up on the Sports Leader.